In a city called Stonetown, on the third floor of an old gray-stoned house, a boy named Rennie Muldoon was considering his options. He was locked inside an uncomfortably warm room, and the only way out was to make an unpleasant decision. Worse, locked in the room with him, and none too happy about it, was a particularly outspoken four-year-old named Constance Contraire, who, from the outset of their confinement, had been reciting ill-tempered poems to express her displeasure. Rennie, though three times Constance's age and probably 50 times as patient, was beginning to feel ill-tempered himself. He had the hot room and the cranky girl to endure. Constance couldn't possibly want out more than he did. The problem was what it would cost. "Can we just review our options?" Rennie said as patiently as he could. "We'll get out sooner, you know, if we come to a decision." Constance lay on her back with her arms thrown out wide, as if she had collapsed in a desert. "I've already come to a decision," she said, swiveling her pale blue eyes toward Rennie. "You're the one who hasn't made up his mind." She brushed away a wisp of blonde hair that clung to her damp forehead, then quickly flung her arm out again, the better to appear downcast and miserable. She panted dramatically. "We're supposed to be in agreement," Rennie said, keeping his face impassive. Signs of annoyance only encouraged Constance, and she was always on the lookout for them. "You can't just tell me what to do and expect me to go along." "But that's exactly what I did," said Constance, "and you're taking forever, and I'm roasting." "You might consider taking your cardigan off," said Rennie, who, as usual, had shed his own the moment they came upstairs. The heating system in this old house was terribly inefficient. The first floor was an icebox, the third floor a furnace. Constance gave a little start and fumbled at the buttons of her wool cardigan, muttering "better off" and "sweater off" as she did so. Already composing another poem, Rennie realized with chagrin. Her last one had featured a dull goon named Muldoon. Rennie turned away and began to pace. What should he do? He knew that Rhonda Kazembe, the administrator of this disagreeable little exercise, would soon return to ask if they'd made up their minds. Evidently, their friends, Sticky and Kate, locked in a room down the hall, had settled on their own team's decision right away, and now were only waiting for Rennie and Constance. At least that's what Rhonda had said when she checked on them last. For all he knew, she might not have been telling the truth. That might be part of the exercise. It certainly wouldn't have been their first lesson to contain a hidden twist. Under Rhonda's direction, the children had participated in many curious activities designed to engage their interest and their unusual gifts. Gone were the days of studying in actual classrooms. For security reasons, they were unable to attend school, but any odd space in this rambling old house might serve as a classroom, and indeed many had. But this was the first time they had been locked up in the holding rooms, and it was the first exercise in which their choices could result in real and really unpleasant consequences. The children's predicament was based, Rhonda had told them, on an intellectual game called The Prisoner's Dilemma. Sticky, naturally, had read all about it, and at Rhonda's prompting, he had explained the premise to his friends. "There are thousands of variations," Sticky had said, and no doubt he knew them all, "but it's often set up like this. Two criminals are arrested, but the police lack evidence for a major conviction. So they put the prisoners in separate rooms and offer each one the same deal. If one prisoner betrays his friend and testifies against him, while the other prisoner remains silent, the traitor goes free and his partner receives a 10-year prison sentence."